As I said, my name is Father Alex Clark, and I've been here for less than a week. And as you can imagine, life is still a little bit crazy as far as unboxing, kind of getting acclimated, getting familiar. You know, where do we keep this? Where is that located? And I've answered the same two or three questions a lot the past 2 days. And I think one of the first ones when I meet new people is just like, oh, so tell us about yourself. You know, they want to get to know me, which is understandable. So I guess really briefly as an introduction, I am from a small town south of Akron, south of here called Manchester. I'm the second oldest of six. There's four boys, two girls. So I'm older brother, that's myself, or older brother, myself, younger brother, younger sister, younger brother, younger sister. And if you include in the womb, there are currently 13 nieces and nephews. And growing up down there, I always referred to myself as like secret basement Clark, because my siblings were all extremely athletic. They were really popular in this small school. Everyone knew my siblings. I was the one who was really comfortable in my desire. My bedroom was in my parents' basement. I had a TV and an Xbox, and I was doing great. Like, my world was set. And the idea of going to the seminary, like, wasn't even, like, something on the back of my... After high school, I had gone to college, and I was studying network engineering, and I was working at First at that point as a data center network engineer. So I'd gone through high school, I'd done a co-op internship, and then I was a junior, or maybe end of sophomore year, beginning of my junior year at the University of... Life was great. I had this awesome routine. I was working full-time over the summer part during the school year. I was able to work my way through college. I loved what I was studying. I was really good at it. And I was able to be at classes, working on screens all day by myself. I came home, I ate, I did my homework, I went to bed and repeated. Life was good. I was comfortable. I knew what I was doing. I had a really, really good routine going on. Then the Lord just wouldn't stop kind of nudging me. But like, there's something more to life than this. And the idea of the seminary just wouldn't go away, as hard as I tried to run from it for over a year. When I came before the Lord, I'm like, I'm the nerdy introvert. I need to go to the seminary? Like, I'm really comfortable here. This is what I'm good at. I'm succeeding. I already have a job offer lined up, and I haven't even gone to my junior year of college. Like, this, I'm good at this. I'm comfortable here. And I felt a fast forward a year or two, and I'm in the seminary, and Father Turner, who is at that point the formation advisor, saw that I was this really introverted, kind of quiet, shy guy. So one of the things that seminarians do is they're assigned to apostolates. They go out to different ministries. Father Fabian was here. Transition. We're assigned to different parishes and to different ministries. Father Turner saw what I was struggling with even more than I did. So over the course of my seminary experience, he assigned me to become a youth minister. That was fun. He assigned me a week. I would go and I'd leave Bible studies and I would meet one-on-one with inmates. I went to Matt Talbot House for a year where I was there sitting in meetings and meeting one-on-one with people struggling with different forms of narcotic addiction. He intentionally had ministry that were completely beyond my comfort zone, completely contrary or just the opposite of anything I'd ever experienced before, that forced me into these places where I knew there was no way I could ever do this. And every single time I got these assignments, every single time some other, I can't do this. Just let me read my theology books. Why do I have to go to a prison? It's just me alone with 30 inmates locked in. What am I going to do? So our Lord, some small country parish in the middle of nowhere where there's more horses than people. I just sort of like Loudonville. That'd be great. St. Peter's is beautiful. It's right by Mohican God. That'd be awesome. And about 5 years ago, I was assigned to St. John's parishes in the entire diocese. And not only was it one of the largest parishes, but it was one of the parishes where the priests help out at all the other parishes. So over my four years there, I celebrated Mass. I think Father Kelly and I counted. It was like 25 other parishes that we were going from, you know, you wake up, you have the 7:30 at this church and there. There are certain days I didn't even know where I was supposed to go. Then finally, after 4 years at St. John Vianney, which were beautiful and fruitful and where I met many of you, I was assigned this past year to say, like, I'd kind of hit my stride. I was living as that Proker vicar, which is kind of like the fun uncle. You don't have any of the hard responsibilities. You just kind of do show up and do the fun stuff. You do the weddings, you do the baptisms, you celebrate mass, you hang out with the youth group, and then you go away. It's great. And then about 3 months ago at 6:15 p.m., as I was getting ready before the 7 p.m. mass, I got a call from the vicar for clergy. And as soon as I saw the name on my caller ID, I knew what it was. I was comfortable here. I had a routine. I can do this. I know what I'm doing. I've never been administrator before, let alone of two places. And now Father Rosario's not here, so I'm going to be by myself. Father Dennis is here, of course, but he's not assigned with me. And Father David Baugh, and they can't do a lot. It's just me kind of by myself running two places. You notice a pattern here? And here's the beautiful, amazing thing. It goes back to the very beginning. Even in our first reading from the book of Exodus, we heard how God chose the people of Israel. God chose them, not because they were good enough, not because they were special, not because they were holier or more equipped. God chose them out of love for them. Because he chose them and he was the one to take them. He was the one to guide them. He was the one to take them out of their enslavement, to lead them. And then after the people of Israel had rejected him, had broken the covenant, had fallen into sin continually throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, saves them from their own misery and once again reestablishes a covenant of love with his people. And it didn't end there. We heard in our second reading from St. Paul that it was actually, we saved us so many times, in the very middle of our sinfulness, in our enemies of God. It was at that moment where God chose to stop just saving us from our own bad situations, but God chose to become one of us and take on our suffering, take on our punishment himself. And through the sacrifice of his body and blood, not because we deserved it, but because he knew we desperately needed it and could never do it ourselves. And then our gospel. It is not because God saw 12 extremely well-formed, completely capable men that he assigned them. No, he needed people. And he called 12 sinful, selfish, kind of goofball men, one of which would even betray him, and gave him to lead his church. To go. I knew that God was once again, as he always did before, smiling. And I think I'm starting to catch on his pattern, because I smiled back. My brothers and sisters, the pattern, our Lord will always call us team, beyond our comfort zone, and even beyond what we think we are capable of. Because it's when we're put in those situations that we finally realize face to face the stark reality that we cannot do it ourselves. A task I know completely from the depths of my heart, I naturally cannot. The sanctity that you naturally, of yourself, are completely incapable of. Neither of us have what it takes. He does. Let us run to him.